by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
There was a father who had five sons, and he wanted to use them to demonstrate truth. And so he called all of his sons together, and he chose the son who was the oldest and the strongest of the five to help him in that demonstration. He began by giving his son a stick, and he said to him, "Go ahead, snap that stick in two." And the son smiled and smirked, like, "Really?" and snapped it in two very easily. Then the man took two sticks and handed them to his son and said, "Go ahead, snap them." And again, the son was able to snap two sticks. And this process repeated. Soon there were three, four, five, six. And before long, it was a bundle of sticks. And it was too difficult for him to snap. And the boy walked away, admitting defeat. And then the father said to his sons, "Let this be a lesson to all of you. There is great strength in unity." He then quoted the words of Jesus, saying, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." And then he said to his boys, "Anyone can overtake you one by one. But when you stand together in unity, your united strength will give your enemy second thoughts." My friends, there is great strength in unity. As a church, when we are united together, we defeat the work of darkness and we impact lives and community. In the Bible, David wrote a psalm about unity. And I want to read that, and we'll refer to that a couple of times throughout this message. And I would ask you now, how did I do that? I put it in. Kyle, is there a slide? I wrote one in. There it is. Thank you. I may have a slide out of order now, but it is Psalm 133, and if you would like to follow along, then you need page numbers. They're up there. I'll give you a moment to get there. David writes, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore." This morning, following the ideas of this psalm, I want to talk about unity. You have an outline, and I was very gracious. I gave you some fill-ins because I knew somebody would complain that their hand hurt from putting in all the blanks. But it might be beneficial for you to take that and follow along as we go. The first truth that I want to share with you is this. Kyle, I messed up. Thank you. We all knew that, right? Unity is I'm batting 1,000 up here. Unity is beneficial. And here's how. It says unity is pleasant. In verse 1 in the psalm, it says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity." Every one of us have been in awkward situations. Maybe you were invited into someone's home, and while you were there, a heated battle began, and you're just like, wanted to become invisible and slip out of the room and just disappear. When people are arguing and people are having difficulty getting along, how do you feel? You probably have like a knot in your stomach. But when you're gathered together and people are getting along, there is harmony, there is peace. It's the kind of thing that is enjoyed, and you want to be able to repeat that over and over again. When we are experiencing unity as a church, we are free to serve God and to carry out the plans that He has for us. On the other hand, if we are angry with one another, nitpicking, quarreling, living in disunity, we are so weighted down by our struggles that we become ineffective for God. I don't know if I want to admit this or not, but I already, on January 5th, I have spring fever. When the weatherman this week, and they better not be lying, said that it was going to be 45 degrees and warmer in the coming days. All right. When I saw the other morning, Tom Clark had a map of the United States, and from Texas to New England, it was in red, above normal temperatures for the rest of January. And I think to myself, spring is in the air. Well, I'm afraid that we're a long way off. We'll be shoveling more snow than mowing a lawn. But I want to talk about a lawnmower for a little bit. Most lawnmowers have four wheels, and most lawnmowers have an adjustment on each wheel that you set the height. I happen to like to set mine nice and low, so I don't need to cut my grass very often. But regardless of how you do it, if you knew how much grass I have, it would really be funny. Regardless of how you do that, if you were to set one wheel to the very bottom and all of the others to the highest they would go, or maybe even remove a wheel, what do you think the lawn would look like? Be a wreck. I know what happens in my would happen in my yard. I would have spots that the blade literally cut off the top of the topsoil, because that's what happened. When, on the other hand, all of the wheels are set at a nice height and you mow that grass so carefully, it is so perfectly manicured. It is like green, lush velvet. The purpose is all of the wheels are working together in unity, and it is pleasant. And my friends, when every one of us, all of our wheels are working together in perfect unity, it is a very pleasant thing. The second point is this, and I'll bet you somebody in the back pew there didn't get this answer ahead of time. Unity isn't spelled right, but unity unleashes the Spirit. And you're going to say to me, why does it say that? I don't see that at all. But if you look at the text, and we look at it one more time, it says, it is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. There's a picture there that tells us something, and we need to understand what it is trying to tell us. And that is this. In the Old Testament, oil is often used to symbolize the Spirit of God. In the process of anointing a priest, they would take oil and they would pour it over the priest's head. symbolizing the filling of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God. In Exodus, God gave Moses specific instructions for anointing Aaron. And he said to them, he was told that he was to pour this oil over Aaron's head. It was an oil that was made for ceremonial purposes. It would have been olive oil mixed with sweet-smelling spices. Now, more significant, Aaron, as a priest, would have been wearing a garment called an ephod, kind of a breastplate, maybe a bib kind of a looking thing that he would wear, and it would be on the front of his chest. And on that ephod, there were 12 precious stones, each one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Interestingly enough, the details tell us that on the stone, the onyx stones, and there were two, there were etched the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, I want you to picture this. I'm not going to demonstrate because I don't want to wash my hair again today, but pouring oil running down the head, over the beard, and down over my vestment or garment, symbolizing the Spirit of God, the unleashing of the Spirit of God, bringing about unity to Israel, uniting them together in God. The same thing happens to us. We are united together as a body of Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells each and every one of us. And so when we as a church, we as a body of Christ, come together, the oil, the Spirit is unleashed in every one of us and through us. And what we see as a result is people will trust in Christ as their Savior. They will turn from their sin, and their lives will be transformed. And the inverse is also true. Disunity hinders the work of the Holy Spirit and destroys the work of God. Let's move on to the next point. Unity is refreshing. In verse 3, David is speaking of this oil that's poured, and it says it is as if the dew of Hermon and were falling on Mount Zion. Now, that doesn't really mean too much to us as we just read that, but let me tell you this. Looking at Israel, Mount Hermon is in the north, and Mount Zion is in the south. There is vast difference between them. And David says that dew that rests on both literally unites the two together. There is unity together through the refreshing of dew. Back to summertime again in an illustration, but think about this. We go through days and days and days without any rain. Yet, many times it is that morning dew that rests on the plants, rests on the grass, that just gives enough refreshment to get through another day. When we consider what it means to be united together by the Spirit of God, empowered by God, it is amazing, and it is refreshing, my friends. We go out of those doors, no matter where we go. Could be work, could be our neighborhood, could be our family, could be the house where we live. There is strife and fighting and tension and like all kinds of yuck, okay? But when we come together here, it should be a moment of refreshment. where we're renewed, where our life is where and vigor is regained. It is wonderful to experience that in unity. But if we allow petty differences to be divisive, if we listen to negative and destructive accusations, if we fail to love and accept one another, if we fail to put the needs of the body ahead of our own, we will destroy the wonders of unity and the work of God. Because truth number two tells us that unity can be hindered. Disunity stems when we have no purpose. When everybody does what's right in their own eyes and no central purpose, there will always be disunity. That is why it is typical for churches and organizations as they form together to create a mission statement or a purpose statement. Now, no cheating. Who can tell us what our mission is? Louder. To know Christ. To grow in Christ. And to make Christ known. Okay, was he cheating, Kim? Okay. That's our purpose. And so a long time ago, we decided this is why we exist. So that individuals can get to know Christ more, they can grow in their faith, and as they do, they can help others to know and do the same. That is our purpose. That is why we're here. And so when we get ideas or things that we need to do, we have decisions we need to make. We need to take those decisions and we pile them up against that mission statement. Are we fulfilling the mission? When we take in new members, so some of you are relatively new, you know that when I gather you all here and I ask questions, one of the questions I ask is, are you in agreement with our mission statement? Are you willing to help in the fulfillment of that statement? Why? Because we all need to be on the same page. Because then we work together in unity. And disunity stems when we have no central common purpose. Secondly, disunity stems from no vision. I want to commend some of you. There aren't many of you left, but I want to commend some of you, okay? Way back when, BK, that's before Kevin. How do you like that? There was a time and a place where things weren't going so well. And the people that were here unified and had vision. And this is what they said. We're either going to go down fighting, but we're not going to just quit. And so, they had previously sold a parsonage. This was down to a part-time charge. It was down to a part-time ministry. They had previously sold a parsonage. And they said to our denomination, we could bring a full-time pastor here for 3 years. Based on what we have in savings, based on what we currently take in offerings, we can pay somebody 3 years. We'll either grow and remain, or we'll die trying. But that was excellent vision, and it's commendable. And those of you that were here at that time, I'm very grateful because I was the full-time pastor that came. And we've seen a lot of things go on, but I want you to be very clear, it is the work of God, not the work of me, all right? One can toil till they're blue in the face. The Spirit of God is the one that brings the increase. Know that. And so understand that vision brought us to where we are today. Soon we got to a point that there was no parking. And so we became the Church of the Wrecking Ball. As those of you that know our history, we were naughty. We were going to tear down a hysterical building. I think I pronounced that right. Anyway, in all of that, we ended up with a parking lot. And in the beginning, there were individuals that said, oh, we don't need a parking lot, or blah, 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 you know. But the reality is, everybody did what they needed to do for the best of the body. And as a result, we have parking today. It's only 10 spaces over there, but it's 10 spaces we desperately need. So, again, there was vision. There was understanding that we need to do this. And my friends, it is my desire that as we make any future decisions, whatever they might be, that we would be doing it with vision for what God wants to do using this body of believers. Not our own preference, not our own desire, but rather what will be best for the body of Christ, what will be best in reaching the people in this community that do not know Jesus and have never heard how much he loves them. And finally, my friends, disunity stems from selfishness. Some people's mission and purpose statement is my way or the highway. And that can be a problem. Instead, we need to be concerned about the interests of others more than our own. Unity, my friends, truth number three says, is a blessing. And I want you to see how that's a blessing. The first bullet says this: unity results in support. When the body of Christ is together and working together in unity, there's never aloneness or isolation, but rather we weep together with those who weep. We rejoice together with those who rejoice. When one person hurts, there is hurt in the hearts of all. And there is that mutual support that we cannot even begin to experience when we're isolated from the rest of the body. And so it's so important for us to be part of a body where unity is present and where we can be encouraged and supported as we live our lives together. It's an illustration of that would be the difference between a laser beam and a spotlight. Both may have the same amount of photons. In a laser beam, they're united and working together. And as a result, they have intense power. A spotlight, on the other hand, they work individually, and the results are vastly different. I'm thankful that that is not a laser beam that I am standing in right now. When we are joined together as a body of Christ, when we are united in purpose and united in vision, the Spirit of God will do great things. I believe the past shows us that, and I trust the future will show us the same. Second point, unity results in growth. As David closed out this psalm, he said, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. My friends, living organisms grow. Unity produces growth. It produces spiritual growth. It produces numerical growth. And I want to tell you something, and I think you'll all agree. If everybody out there on the outside of a body of believers would know that on the inside, that there was unity and there was support and there was encouragement and there was unconditional love, there isn't a wall or a door that could keep people from coming in. Because, my friends, the world has a great need for encouragement and unconditional love and support. They would push down the walls, literally, to get in. And then the final point is this. Unity results in fellowship. The idea of fellowship is that there is a oneness that is found in Christ and in the body of Christ. In a few moments, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. Now, we quote-unquote fellowship together as we do, as we are one with God and demonstrating our oneness with one another. We can only experience true fellowship when we live together in unity. A couple of weeks ago, when we talked about the purpose of Christmas being reconciliation, I spent a little bit of time talking. If our relationships with one another are messed up, our relationship with God is messed up. And if our relationship with God is messed up, our relationship with one another is messed up. They work together. We love God, we love His children, we love His people, and we work together to the best of our ability. But I want to give you three things that are not on your outline, but just listen. Unity is never at the expense of truth. I would commend you because many of you have dealt with a great deal of change. There has been tremendous change over the last 14 years. But it's important to know that one thing never has or ever will change, and that is the truth of God. The truth is never compromised. Sometimes the way in dealing with an issue is compromise, but never compromising the Word of God. If somebody is going to jump up and down or stomp their fist, it ought to be because the Word of God is being violated, not because that's not what I wanted. That doesn't matter. It's what is better for all. Okay? Number two, unity does not mean we ignore controversial issues. We will never agree. I can go back to many decisions. I go back to that parking lot. I can remember sitting in a board meeting or ministry council meeting, and there were people that were on that council sitting around that table saying, we don't need this, we don't need this, we don't need this, we don't need this. But in the end, we agreed to disagree. And when the meeting was over, even though somebody disagreed, they supported what was approved. That's great leadership. That's very important in preserving unity. And then finally, unity is not the same as uniformity. Uniformity says we're all alike. Oh, isn't that a horrible thought? Everybody would be like you or me. That's a horrible thought. But rather, my friends, unity means that we're not all the same, but we're one. One, united in Christ. United together in faith, united with a purpose and a vision. And my friends, unity has wonderful benefits. It does produce great blessings. It has been my privilege and many of yours to be part of what God has been doing. God has blessed. I came here 14 years ago. I wasn't even super excited about having to buy a house because I couldn't imagine how bad it would have to be to sell that house after just 3 years, okay? Seriously, because I had no idea what God would do. And many of you had no idea what God would do. But God did things beyond what we could have ever imagined. Now get this. I believe God is not done. And He still has great plans for this ministry. And He has greater things yet to do. Many greater things. Can I tell you what they are? I have no clue. As I've shared many times, God gives you one piece of the puzzle and He keeps the box. You don't even know what it's going to look like. But he says, here, take it. And when he's ready, he gives you another, and another, and another. And then just when you think you know what it is, you find out that it doesn't look anything like you thought. But God's will is accomplished when we work together in unity. And so let me ask you this question. How are you helping to build and promote unity here in this body? Only you can answer that. Second question, are there ways that you might be promoting disunity? My friends, we must rid ourselves of anything that hinders the work of God. We must do whatever it takes for God's will to be done in this body of believers and in this community, because we exist to know Christ, to grow in Christ, and to make Christ known. I'm going to ask the music ministry that's playing for our communion song to come. And I'm going to ask our ushers to form back there. One of the ways in which we show our unity with one another and with God is by observing the Lord's Supper together. And the scriptures tell us that as we do, we should take a moment to prepare our hearts. And so at this time, I want you to take a moment. Think about the message. Think about what God has said to you through His Spirit. And speak to Him. And after a few minutes, I'll lead us in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the One who demonstrated unity with You and the Holy Spirit, the One who demonstrated humility and gentleness and patience and abundant love. Lord, help us to follow His example. Lord, we admit that there are times that we fall short of Your desire for our lives. We ask, Lord, that You would forgive us for being selfish, unloving, uncaring, and even unkind. Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. We thank You, Lord, for the promise that tells us that when we confess our sin, that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Lord, I pray that You would continue to perpetuate a spirit of unity in this body, and that our desire would be to live in union with You and with one another. And we pray this together in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.